Can I ask? Because I went through a stage of, like, because you talk about the shame and stuff. Like, and the condemnation is real.
Yeah.
Did you ever have moments? For me, I would. I remember it was just when I started actually getting to know God, and I would wake up and I would just picture myself like seeing Jesus and him saying, "Oh, you did this and you did this." Like the condemnation was real.
Yes.
So how did you walk through that, through the condemnation, the shame, and the guilt?
That's good. It's a good question because most people can't, you know. And so one thing my dad said to me, he said, "There's a difference between guilt, condemnation, and conviction."
Mm-hmm.
So he says, the moment you ask, the moment you make a mistake, you can feel conviction, guilt, you can feel all three, whatever, or two, whatever you want to call them, right? You can feel those things.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you make the decision to repent and ask God for forgiveness for the sin or the mistake that you've made, that's conviction, right? So you're convicted, you change.
Yeah.
But after that, anything that's after that is condemnation and is guilt. And that doesn't come from God.
Yeah.
God doesn't make you feel guilty.
Yeah.
God doesn't condemn you. He convicts you.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, then that's the devil. The devil is the one who's now bringing condemnation.
Yeah.
And then he just would tell me scriptures, for there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, you've been washed by the blood.
Yeah.
You know, we are made white as snow. Your sins are made white as snow. And you tell me, look, son, you can either stay in the same state, you know, which will keep you stuck, or we move forward.
Yeah.
You know, and he kept encouraging me that way. And my pastor at the time, same thing with my pastor. You know, he talked to me about some things, whether it was whether it was sexual, my sexual purity, trying to maintain sexual purity at that time, or it was very good to have people to talk to. And I think that's another major key for me with anyone that is trying to overcome anything, is having a person to talk to.
Yeah.
And not friends, because friends are dumb.
Okay.
Yes. Friends, I always say friends, nonsense. Someone who's mature.
Okay.
Someone who's spiritually more mature than you, wiser.
How do you get someone like that? Where do you find someone like that?
And I think that's part of the problem with the church sometimes, because you find when a young person makes a mistake and goes and tells someone, they're like, "Oh, what did you do? Oh, how could you do that?" And they feel judged or condemned or whatever. And maybe they don't find that there's openness that way, or they feel like this person might not understand. I think we have to do a better job of making ourselves open that way, leaving those open doors. But certainly I believe in youth groups, there should be people like that in your local church, family. And not to say someone who's not a Christian can't help you. You know, we'd like to think family is a good place to start, because your family should always be there for you, and you should always encourage you. But that's not always the case with people. So we don't all come from good families. We have different backgrounds. But the church should be the best place to look for people like that, to find someone you can walk with who would not judge you. Because even when I talked to my pastor at the time, and I told him, "Look, I'm struggling with sin. I've been having sex with such. These are how many. I've had sex like these many girls," or whatever it was. And he just said, "Okay."
You were making up for last time. I'm joking.
He didn't make me feel bad at all. That was the best thing about it. And he's like, "Okay, well, look, this is what we're going to do next. This is how we can judge this."
Was this like a young pastor? Or?
He was a fairly young pastor. He was a youth minister at the time. But yeah. Very understanding, and he walked me through it. Says, next time you even feel like that, or even if you make the mistake, call me. Just tell me.
Yeah.
I don't judge you. I just want to know. So we can start looking at what caused it, what happened.
Basically, accountability.
Accountability.
Okay.
Yes.
So you come back to Zoom, your dad passes away.
Yes.
And then how was that? Like your dad isn't here anymore. Your friend is gone. Yeah.
No, but it was hard. Death is never easy for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Especially someone who's like that big of a figure.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big figure for the nation. He was a big figure for our family, for the church, and for me personally. And of course, as a man, you know, your fathers, we look up to our fathers, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was difficult initially. Then there's this, again, there's this African thing where we say you just have to be strong. Like, it's not even African, it's just
a man
thing.
Yeah.
You have to be strong. Ah, and people will say that, be strong for the family, make sure you're now the father. Hey.
Oh, people say that to you?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
So did you feel that pressure? Like, I have to man up.
Oh, of course.
Oh, wow.
You do. You can't show no signs of weakness. No.
Close, like your mom put that pressure on you? Or no, was that external?
It's always external.
Okay.
It's always external, yeah. And not that I wanted to cry. I still haven't cried. My dad.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it like a thing where you know he's in a better place?
Yeah. I didn't feel the need to cry. I know he ran his race.
Like, you even said one tear, dude.
No.
Wow.
No. It was a joyful funeral. I don't know. I've always told you. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had so much joy. Our family had so much joy. We laughed so much in that time. I mean, my mom was almost dying in the hospital at the same time. But
your mom is a G. I love her. Like, listening to her cross over, I was like, I love her. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's awesome. She's cool. She's a powerful lady.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't feel the need to do that. And I think I realized some things about death. And we're writing a book as a family. I think we should have put it out a long time ago. But just about dealing with death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's no right way to grieve.
Okay.
You know, there's no right or wrong way. I think, well, there is some wrong ways to grieve, but there's no right way to do it. So, for example, people say, don't cry. And I'm like, well, what if I felt like crying?
Mm-hmm.
What if I did feel like crying?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm supposed to just wait and not cry.
Yeah.
You know, and so we didn't want to, we learned so much through that period because we decided as a family immediately. I remember when my dad died, and I called my sisters because I was so worried about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Lisa.
That's what you talked about in the Tommy interview.
Yeah.
And you're like, Lisa was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And you were like, okay. She's like, we're going to pray. He's going to resurrect. And I was like, that's dope. That's like major faith. Maybe she has a gift of faith, because not everyone would do that in that situation.
No, it's not normal.
Yeah.
It's definitely not normal.
It's supernatural.
Yeah. It's very, very awesome. And that set the tone for the thing.
For the
rest of the funeral. And it was just joy and peace and we were feeling so loved, and of course people were there for us, and we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, it's still not easy, because it feels like, I always describe to people and say, it's like having a huge scar you've just gone, I mean, like a huge gash in your chest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's healed.
Yeah.
So you can look at it and still see there's a scar there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the scar's healed.
Yeah.
So you know that there's an element of you missing. You know.
Have you ever lost someone who wasn't in Christ when they died?
Yes. There's some.
Was the grief different? Like someone close to you? The reason why I asked, because like my grandfather was like one of my best friends. I loved him. He was the best.
Yeah.
When he died, I cried, because I cry over everything. Yeah. I cried. But I wasn't crying like, I was crying like, yeah, my best friend, like one of my best friends gone.
Mm.
But there was also like some comfort, because I knew I was going to see him again.
Yeah.
And then there's another, it's scriptures, like when we do not mourn, like we mourn with hope. I forgot where it is, but there's a verse that talks about when we mourn, like it's not hopeless, like because we know we're going to see them again.
Right.
But then I had someone else pass away who I didn't know if they were saved or not. And that grief was different, because I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I think there is a difference in the grief too.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think there would be a difference. And I think, you know, if you're a believer, when you're a believer, it's definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's why we had joy and peace and
And you were celebrating his life.
That's what it was. It was a celebration.
Yeah.
We didn't even call it a funeral. We said celebrations.
Okay.
You know, so we had two big celebrations for him, which is great. And I think it would be different.
Mm-hmm.
If my dad wasn't saved, then I'd be like, if he wasn't a Christian, if I didn't know he was going to heaven,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, ugh.
Like, oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. I think it would be different.
Yeah. So you reckons them. How did you now start? How did you become Pastor Yasha?
So I got back. I decided I wanted to, because I decided I was going to come back and do ministry things, right? And I was going to
Okay. So you already were like,
yes.
I'm going into ministry.
I'm going to be help with the church. Not necessarily ministry.
Okay.
I'm going to do music in church. I'm a musician.
Okay.
I'm going to produce. I'm going to help with the music department, and that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I set on. I talked about it with my dad, and then we'll do other business, family business things, and that's fine.
Yeah.
When I got back, it didn't quite work out the way I planned, because obviously my dad's gone, and then people are like, oh, well, Yasha, you need to take up the mantle. You need to go help with the church. you know, you're going to take over the church one day, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, man, okay, pressure again. But this time, I didn't quite see it that way because I had so much peace. And I guess my relationship with Christ was so strong at the time. And I said, look, God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. I said, I don't care about what's been said, the past. I just want to do right by you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you ask me to do, wherever you ask me to go. If you'd ask me to go to Somalia, I would go to Binga. I would go. I'm all in. I said, I'm going to do it. Yeah. Let me try this. For real, 100% for the first time.
Would you still go to Somalia?
I would.
Okay.
I would. Doesn't matter where he sent me. I don't care where he sent me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that for me, there's no greater satisfaction than serving God right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him that. I promised him. I said, look, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And so I
started. And your mom was cool with it. She was like,
well, almost happy. She was happy to just have me home. So she was like, oh, my son, my prodigal son is back. Anyway, so. but yeah, so I just started serving in the music stuff, and I was kind of slowly coming in because I've been gone for so long and I didn't even know most of the people in the church. I had to get to know everyone, so I was taking things slowly. But I immediately saw that there was a gap in
the youth. Okay.
In high schools.
Yeah.
I remember I used to do a high school thing with our dance team before I left. We had like a dance group and a couple of things, and we like go talk about God, and you know, briefly after like our dance thing. And I thought to myself, well, you know, high school is getting crazy. I think I saw some kids doing some crazy stuff, and I was like, what, they're doing this in Zimbabwe too? I thought America was bad. Zimbabwe, what's going on?
I know, it's crazy.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, why don't I do this? Our church doesn't have it. I don't see many other churches. In fact, mm-hmm. any other churches. I think the only other church that was doing something which I hadn't seen still was Celebration,
mm-hmm.
Celebration Church. And they were just in like in a few schools, I think. Mm-hmm. They have specific schools that they work with.
There's also Zam Halls, if you've heard of them.
Zam Halls, yes. Zam Halls is a camping thing, yes. Yeah. Zam Halls, we've been to Zam Halls. But again, they're private schools.
Yeah, they do specific schools.
It's very specific schools. It's just schools, I know, for a fact. Okay. And then again, it's on during the holidays.
No, but Zam Halls used to come to school.
They used to come to
for
school?
For a week, yeah. It was really? Called Zam Halls Week. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay. But I did know it was private schools that they mm-hmm. dealt with. So, yeah, I just felt there was a need. I mm-hmm. felt there was a gap. And even if look, a few churches are doing it, there is still such a huge need.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
So
the more the better.
Yeah, the more the better. We need more of it, not less, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like we're competing or anything like that. In fact, we're complimenting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things I actually talked about with Tommy, Pastor Tommy, and said to him, look, man, because he asked me, he was one of the another thing, sorry, I'm like all over the place, but he helped me to settle back too. Because I was like, man, I don't know anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of my friends are out of the country.
Mm, I was gonna ask you that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, so what am I gonna do? And so Tommy was really good to have because I knew him from high school.
Okay.
We're family friends, you know, our dads are like really, really tight, and our parents were very, very close. So anyway, so it was good to have him around. So I could bounce some things off of him and just say, look, this
So you had community when you
I did.
Got back.
Yeah.
And not community as in your church, I mean close friends that you could surround yourself with.
Well, at least Tommy and my high school best friend. So I had two guys that were there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your high school best friend's also saved and
yes, he was still in the church.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
So
okay.
he worked with my dad very, very closely.
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
and his name is July, so
they were talking about him today.
Yeah. So yeah, that helped. Mm-hmm. In the transition. So when I talk about some things with Tommy, Tommy's like, look, go for it, man.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to my mom, she's like, go for it. And mm-hmm. Talk to my uncle, he's like, go for it. And so I started, and I just kind of went. I had no idea, no plan on how I was going to do it, and I just went to a couple of schools. I think I got rejected the first two schools.
Mm-hmm.
But my mindset was like, look, there's a need.
And yeah.
I went to multiple schools. So eventually, I started off with one school, two schools, three schools, and now we're in 30 schools. So
what?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
And initially, and I think one of the other things, the first mistake I made, I went there with my short, my t-shirt, and like some jeans.
What were you really supposed to go in?
I probably should have used some wisdom. Sometimes you have to use wisdom. That's why
like, the Bible says. Like, because they saw your tattoos and you were like,
go. So I'm like, oh, no, we're not going to let this guy come talk to our girls. No.
Okay.
So, And like, who's this guy? He's not a Christian. He's not a pastor. And of course, people in...
Yeah.
Not that I was a pastor then either, but I'm saying they're just like, no, he's not a Christian. What kind of Christian is this?
Wow, well, so they saw your look and they're like, no.
I was judged off my look.
There's this pastor, maybe you know him. His name is Carl Lentz.
Carl Lentz, yeah.
He said he would be invited to speak at a specific, whatever church it was. Yeah. Like, it happened to him.
Mm.
And when he got there, they wouldn't let him in because they just looked at the way he was dressed and they were like,
yeah.
Not knowing, dude, this is the dude that was invited to speak. But I love the way he is. Like, I want him to stay the way he is because it challenged my thinking when the first time I heard him, I was like, oh, he's got tattoos and he's got long hair. But I love him.
Yeah.
But anyway.
No, same experiences, completely.
Okay.
Completely.
Like, and when it happens, are you like, ah, these people?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, it's worse in our culture.
Okay, yeah?
It's worse in tattoos. Yeah. Oh, I need my tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to these schools, and now you're in 30 schools, and...
Yeah.
What's what's it called, like...
So the group, we called it, I called it Generation Impact.
Okay.
So I felt like there needed to be a bridging of the gap between generations, and we needed to really make a difference.
How can people contact you or find you? Do you have a Facebook page?
So we have my Instagram page and our Facebook page.
Okay, it's called Generation.
It's called Generation Impact. You can look up into Generation Impact or my page, which is Yasha Music. But we should be having our website out this term. We're working on working with some things with the Ministry of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Really soon, which is pretty cool because then we'll have a lot more access to all these schools.
Amazing.
So we're actually very scared because, in a nice way, because we need to have more capacity.
Okay.
Yeah, we are. We will not be able to reach all these schools.
What do you need?
People that are willing to just want to give back, you know, in the smallest way. People, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to. To be perfect, we don't. None of my guys are perfect, you know. But we have grown in our service, grown in our giving back. You find that you learn and you get back so much more when you're actually with these kids, I'm finding my guys have grown so much. A lot of the guys that I started off with didn't have jobs, didn't have any, weren't in school, struggling financially and things like that. And I said to them, guys, if you're doing nothing, why don't you go and give back? Whatever time you have, come and give back. Let's do this. And I found God has helped them, bless them so much with jobs. And now they're in school. Guys are getting scholarships from nowhere. And it's just amazing to see how they have grown.
Switching gears. I saw one of your Generation Impact videos.
Yeah.
And you're talking about sex. And how you and your fiancé have never kissed. How did that happen? Okay, how did you meet your fiance? Like, for me, this is the good stuff. How did you meet your fiance? Like, I have all these questions.
Sure. Mm-hmm. My fiance. She's a beauty. Amazing. So I met her in Ghana.
Okay, is she Ghanaian?
No, she's not. She's South African.
Okay.
Which is so strange because I've been in a relationship prior to that, and it didn't work. Unfortunately, for other reasons, but I was so in a place where I said I don't want to do this relationship thing wrong. I want to do it right. I didn't want to make the mistake. And how do we find the right person? So long story short, I prayed and I said, God, look, I am going to I'm going to trust you this time. A lot of people jump into relationships and then ask God. Usually that's how it happens. Or you already started talking to someone and your feelings have already moved past a certain stage and you're like, oh God, is this the right guy? And it's so hard to hear at that point anyway, because your feelings are swaying and you're like, oh, is it really God? No, God is saying yes, it is. So I decided from the get, I'm like, look, God, I'm just going to trust you from the beginning.
Yeah.
And went to Ghana. I saw her. She was serving there. She was serving like pastors.
I'm going to Ghana. I'm joking. One of my best friends are Ghanaian and they're always like, come to Ghana. Now I'm coming to Ghana. I'm joking. It's
beautiful place. Beautiful country. Anyway, so she was serving somewhere and the moment I saw her, I knew. I was like, that's going to be my wife. Yeah.
No way. Like, for real, for real?
Like, really. Like, it was crazy. Like, a really strange feeling. I said, wow, I think I love it. And not because she's beautiful, she's gorgeous, but
yeah,
because of the way she was serving, and she was so diligent about what she was doing, and yeah, she was just like, I was like, man, this girl really loves God, and that's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't even talk to anything. And the funny thing about it also, God had given me a word about my wife. He had said, it is going to be like Isaac and Rachel.
Okay.
That he had said to me, and I didn't understand it at the time. I was like, what do you mean? That doesn't make any sense. So I just kind of left it alone.
Yeah.
And I read the story a bunch of times, and how, you know, how the servant went to get Rachel in a different country, and I mean different place. And went there, and
then she gave the camels water yeah,
and served and whatnot. So I was like, okay, well, what, okay, I didn't know how this was gonna relate, but
yeah.
Cut a long story short, my cousin, I was late to the conference.
Yeah.
My cousin got there on a Monday. He got there on a Sunday. I got there on a Monday afternoon, like very late evening. Mm-hmm. And so my cousin had arrived and gone through some things during the day.
Okay.
And so in the evening, we're in the hotel together in the same room. So he says, so I asked him, hey, how's the thing? How's the conference? Blah, blah, blah. How's things going? And how are the girls? You know, he's like, oh, there's lots of beautiful girls. Yes, you know, we do ask about girls. Christians do. Yes, we do. So, so he's like, no, there's some really pretty girls and this and that. And, you know, there's some... this girl is like this, like that. And he's like, man, but there's this one girl that you need to, bro, I think she's got to be in the family. So I was like, what do you mean? He's like, that's how we talk. She's like, she's got to be in the family.
Yeah.
So I was like, why? He's like, dude, I saw her. I was looking for like a place to change foreign currency. I was lost in the place. Man, she helped me. She walked with me. She took me around. She did this and did all this stuff. And you know, eventually we sat down and we talked. Man, yeah, she's South African. And she's not like all the South Africans that I know. She's very different. She's so passionate about God. This. Dude, I think you'd love her. I think you'd love her. So
yeah.
Okay. And this was on the Monday. And then on the Tuesday, I go on the Tuesday and I see this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't with my cousin. We were separated.
Like, he didn't even point it out to
me. No, he didn't even know. He didn't even point it out. So
then, this is like the best for me. So I'm loving this story. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. So then I see her again, like at lunchtime, and so I was like, man, I was like, this is her, this is her for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and so I go up to the lunch place, so we meet up at the lunch place. I'm like, call, I've seen my wife, dude, I'm sure, I'm positive. He's like, what, really, where? I'm like, bro, she's perfect, man. He's like, oh, what about her? I'm like, dude, I just love the way she is, her personality. I mean, I haven't talked to her, but look at the way she's just serving. She's so humble. She's so passionate about everything. I can just see the presence of God on her.
Wow.
And so he's like, what? Okay, what does she look like? Tell me. So I'm like, oh man, didn't you see her downstairs? He's like, no, I didn't really see her.
Mm.
I described her. I was like, no, she's like this, she's like that, she's like this. And he's like, huh? What? So I was like, yeah. He's like, what's her name? So I was like, I don't know. So he's like, what does she look like? So I was like, describe her again. And he's like, I'm pretty sure that's the same girl I was talking to, the one I was telling you about last night.
Yeah.
I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Eventually we go down, we point her out, he's like, yep, that's her.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, and he's like, that's crazy.
I would love to hear her version of the story. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd love to tell it. But it's so wild because that conference was so big, there's like 20,000 people.
Yeah.
So it's like impossible. I mean, the odds of that, not impossible, but the odds of that are very like low.
Slim, yeah.
Very slim. So, yeah, eventually I talked to her and she...
Were you scared?
I was pretty terrified. I was okay. I was a little nervous. Yeah, yeah, talking to her. But she was very nice at first, you know. She was very, very nice. And, you know, because I guess she has to be.
Yeah.
You know, dealing with outsiders and stuff.
She doesn't have to be. I've met some mean people.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Right. Yeah. But you should be nice if you're hosting people. Oh, you should be.
My point exactly. Yeah.
So we... I talked to her then, I you know, I just got her name and so forth, and I came back and I told my cousin, I guess, I'm like, dude, I'm pretty sure this is her.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, you need to calm down, you haven't even talked to her, bro. So, and eventually I told him about the scripture. I was like, bro, you know, Isaac, when Rachel was found, there was a servant, you're my servant, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I ain't your servant. So I was like, I'm like, no, dude, you're my servant. This, don't you see that? And he's like, well, then he's like, man, this is amazing. This is kind of how God worked. And yeah, when I tried to talk to her again, I think she saw my intentions at that point, and she became a little tougher.
How? You like like being thirsty? Like, how did she see? Or she discerned it?
I might have been thirsty. I don't know. A holy thirsty. So, yeah, because I was like, you know, I wanted to get to know. I was like, I didn't know how else to do it because I wasn't sure I was going to see her again. So busy.
Yeah.
And so, but she was a little standoffish the second time. And then the third time, she was just like, oh, psh, no, I'm not talking to this guy. And she saw...
Were you crushed?
No, I was persistent. I was sure. Okay. I was like, God has told me. But I didn't tell her that.
Okay. So, like, were you that guy?
No, I didn't tell her that. No, okay. I was like, you know, I was
pretty calm. God told me my wife. Yeah.
Yeah, never. But we talked a couple of times, and there was a couple of events in there, which would probably be a long story, but a couple of like really cool things, because I talked to a pastor the one time. She was sitting with her pastor from her church in South Africa,
mm-hmm.
and I just decided I'm going to go talk to her. And I talked to her pastor, and I was like, hi. I interrupted their conversation.
Is this all during the conference?
This is all during the conference.
Wow, okay.
And so I was talking to her pastor. I ended up talking to her pastor for like 15 minutes, and she was just sitting right there. And her pastor was like, oh, do you have a girlfriend? Are you married? What about her? You know, what do you think? Oh, And so, I mean, it was quite... She's like, oh, you're a sweet guy. This. Oh, why aren't you married? Tell us, why aren't you married? Oh, okay, well, you're a pastor. Oh, okay, this good. Blah, blah. So it really kind of went like really... And she was just sitting there the whole time. I could see she was upset, but she was blushing. She liked it.
Yeah.
I think she liked it. She said she didn't like it, but she liked it. So, but then I only ended up getting her number on the last day of the conference.
Which makes sense.
Why?
No, like, how do you just...
She was giving me such a hard time.
Yeah, how do you just give some random dude your number, like, first day?
In fact, she didn't even give me a number. I had to get it from someone else. She said, go get it from someone. I was like, what? What are we doing here? Is this
wow.
This high school, but she at that point I think was just not even ready for a relationship. She was not in this space. She was in Bible school there.
Okay,
that's what she was doing. She stopped her law degree to do Bible school, and then so she just focused on that. That was the last year, and eventually at the end of the term, when she finished her semester, I was trying so hard. If you saw the WhatsApp conversations, it's an iPhone. You're an iPhone, yeah. So yeah. It's like. Green, 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 green on this side.
What are you texting? Oh, my God.
I'm like, good morning. How are you? I'll send scripture. Oh, Psalms, such and such, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, Ecclesiastes, such and such. Good morning, good night.
Are you being for real right now?
I'm so serious. I am so serious. Like,
And you're just getting blue tick the whole time?
Yeah, no tick sometimes. Single tick, one blue tick, occasionally blue ticks, occasionally, but some usually just be like double tick and that's it.
Yeah.
And then,
what type of scripture are you sending? Is this how Christians do?
This was the Christian Mac game here at its very best.
Okay.
I was like trying to put every scripture hilarious. That I thought appropriate.
Yeah.
About how you will be an overcomer in times of trouble.
At least you didn't say the Songs of Solomon. That would have been.
I thought about it. Many a time I went through Songs of Solomon so many times to find what is appropriate, and I said, no, okay, look, dude, you're too cheesy. You're already cheesy, but this is pushing the limits.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Occasionally I can probably count the number of times she responded, maybe six. And this was
what? She was not August. Feeling you at all?
I don't know what was happening. It was the devil, I tell you. So
trying to stop a good thing.
He was, in the way, just blinding her eyes. You know, she needed to have her eyes open. Blind girl. What? Oh, my God. So, August till December, no real conversation. Maybe six times. I think we maybe spoke once or twice when I called. And I was so surprised. I was so excited. And we talked for an hour, which is cool, encouraging.
Yeah.
I was so excited.
Can you ask? Were you like, be cool?
Always.
Like, yeah.
You always have to be cool. Can't be cool. But... Mm-hmm. Make sure she knows.
Yeah.
So she's like, "What are you doing?" So I was like, "No, I'm not trying to be your friend." I told her that.
Wow. So good for you.
Yeah. Says we can do friends afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but she was like, "What? This guy?" And I think she just kind of like left it alone. And then she finished her exams. I was trying to find out when she's finishing because I'd planned. Because now I think at this point I was giving up because I thought, okay,
you heard wrong.
Yeah, maybe you didn't hear from God, dude. This is a little extreme. She's all the way in Ghana. Mm-hmm. She's from South Africa. This is not gonna work here. And
devil is a liar.
You're a real liar.
Mm.
And I think my last relationship had a lot to do with like destination and living.
Okay.
I had issues to do with that. Mm-hmm. Even though she was from here, she wanted to be somewhere else. So.
Mm.
I was like, dude, what are you doing? You're picking someone who's not even from this country.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to come here. Anyway, she finishes school. So I find out eventually from people there that they're closing at a certain date.
Mm-hmm.
I text her a couple more times and she didn't respond. Eventually on her last day before she left, she responds. She's like, hey, finished exam. Sorry, I've been busy. Just that. How are you? Small talk. And I was like, when are you going back to South Africa?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I'm going on such and such a date. Eventually she tells me the date. And God had told me, because I was giving up, really. And God had told me, and people are always trying to hook you up in church, especially parents. Oh, how's Kurora? Hey, Wakura? Hey, Ko Uyu? How am I born now? Uyu? Oh, Uyu, where are you in life? Ko Uyu, where are you in life? You know, so.
Is that your mom's voice? Or?
No, that was the random.
Okay. Thing,
you know? And everybody. I found this one. Hey, what do you think? So, anyway.
Yeah.
They're always trying to hook you up. So then,
weren't you telling him, guys, I've got someone?
I told him, but then now it's like you're a crazy person.
Okay.
You're like, well, where is she? Do you talk to her? No, I don't. So what's happening?
You have a little faith.
Yeah. Oh, you're a crazy person. One of the two. So I prayed and I just asked God. I said, God, if this is you, you need to give me instruction. And he said to me clearly, go to her home.
Okay.
Just like Isaac did. Go to her hometown and okay. get her. So I was like, well, just like Eli did. No, I mean the servant, rather. And so...
We're like, like, you pumped up.
I was pretty pumped up.
Yeah.
So, but it didn't make sense. I was like, where? Where's our hometown? You mean South Africa?
Yeah.
So I was now very confused. And then, yeah, God was like, go to South Africa. So I said, okay. So I...
So you stalked her, found out where she lives.
I didn't know where she lived. I couldn't find out that. So I didn't know that. Then... But I knew what church she went to. She went to a church called Grace Bible Church.
Okay.
Which is
my cousin goes to that church, really? But in Joburg.
In Joburg.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful church. Amazing church. Good church. I know the pastor there very well, too.
Mm-hmm. I think it's called Grace Bible Church. Anyway, go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a bunch of branches now.
Mm-hmm.
So we... I bought the ticket to South Africa. I didn't know anything about it. I fly to South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Pick out your outfits.
Yeah.
Because you have to look good.
I did. I don't know if I thought about that. I just...
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay.
I didn't think that. I just...
You just went.
Yeah, I just went. And my parents even asked, my mom asked me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to South Africa. She's like, what for? I said, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I get there, I try to text her, no response. I call her, nothing. And I was like, oh man, what am I doing here? So eventually, because people heard I was in South Africa, so I got a preaching engagement. So mm-hmm. I spoke a speaking engagement. So I spoke at this place in Polokwane. And then I was like, you know, let me just focus on the speaking. And then on Saturday, we'll try again.
Mm-hmm.
So on Saturday, I sent another message and she didn't respond again. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm leaving like next week. What's going to happen? How am mm-hmm. I going to even, you know, I kept saying, hey, I'm in South Africa. I kept sending messages. And they wouldn't be delivered, I think. They weren't delivered or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't her fault? She wasn't
No, they actually got delivered. No, they actually got delivered. Okay. She said she didn't see it.
So okay.
So I was like, God, you know what? This is the last day. It's Saturday. I don't know what I'm going to do. And God says,
go. That's the last day.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm going to give up. What else can I do?
Yeah.
You know? I'm actually not interested. Then he says, go to her church.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but
why haven't you gone from the beginning?
It was a Monday when I got to South Africa. Yeah, so this was like Monday all the way through Saturday.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, go to her church. Fine. But this is a big church. It's like a 10,000-seater church. How am I going to find
her? She'd probably be serving, dude, because you know.
Okay, but I don't know where she was serving. Anyway, still, okay. Fine, I said mm-hmm. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I prepared, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get an Uber from Samson. Mm-hmm. Just so I told, okay, I planned it, and I was good. And then she messaged me. She responded to my WhatsApp status. She's like, hey, are you in South Africa?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yes. Mm-hmm. I've been messaging you all week. Have mm-hmm. you not seen the messages? And she's like, oh, sorry. I didn't mm-hmm. see you. It's just mm-hmm. been busy since I've been back. I've been gone for 2 years. So, you know, just catching up.
Yeah.
So she's like, what are you doing here? I said, I came to see you. Look at the messages here. She's like, what? You're here for me? So I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
She's like, no, don't be silly. What are you really doing here? I said, no, I'm here to come see you. She's like, why? What are you here for? I said, look, I'm not trying to wait till Ghana next year to see you again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's like, doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I'm serious. She's like, you're lying. And we went this back and forth for a long time.
Yeah.
And she said, doesn't make
sense. Woman, I'm here to see you.
So what did you do? I said, I bought a ticket and I came. She says, that doesn't make sense. It's like a movie. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That's right. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'm coming to your church tomorrow. She's like, what? So I said, yes, I was coming to your church. She's like, okay, fine. If you're really coming, I don't think you're here anyway
mm-hmm.
for me. But if you come to church tomorrow, no problem. Save me a seat.
Okay.
So I said,
yes.
It's good.
Yeah.
You know? But I wake up late the next morning. I don't even know what happened. So dumb. Their church starts at 7 o'clock on the dot. So I was like, I got there like 7:15, praise and worship had happened. But the pastor, the bishop, I know the bishop's son, he's my friend, Gatego, so he had told his dad I was coming, so they saved me a seat,
okay.
Kind of behind, right behind him or whatever. And so
did you do the church walk of fame when you were late?
Luckily it wasn't, it was still praise and worship.
Okay, okay.
Like, you know? So I sat in there, and then they, so I was texting, I was like, I'm here. And she's like, oh, it's too late. I mean, well, I didn't think you were here anyway, and I think you're lying, so besides I'm sitting.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, terrible. So I'll see you after church. She's like, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we kind of sat down in the
bishop. Oh, I like this girl. Sorry.
Then the bishop says, gets on the stage, and I guess he kind of does the, and you know, after the praise and worship and worship is done, and he's about to start speaking. So he says, hey, you know, I travel around the world, and there's many relationships and friendships that I make, and some are more special than others. And he's like, well, there's a young man here today, and he's from Zimbabwe, and he's like very special to me. And he's like, my son, I've got to know him now, and I'm so proud of you. And he goes on and on and on. And
but it's good, because you're scoring brownie points.
Well, I didn't see it that way. I was hating this. Ugh. And I was like, oh my God, what's this guy doing?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yes, Yasha, please stand up for everyone to see. Yasha, stand up. And I'm like, on the big screens, and I'm like,
mm.
Like, Yasha, if we had time, I'd have made you come here. You guys remember him last time he spoke when he was here? So I was like, yeah, yeah. He's like, Yasha, welcome in here. I sat down. So as soon as I sit down, she's like, bing, 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 bing. Oh, you're here? What? What are you? Are you really here? What are you doing here? So I was like, no, we'll see you after the service.
Mm.
I'll see you after the service. Anyway, so after the service, I go to talk to the bishop. I told the bishop, look, I'm not here for you, sir.
Yeah. Oh, you told him
I
that?
I told him. I said, sir, I'm here for other business, sir. Please excuse me. He's like, oh, okay, no worries. He was kind of surprised. He's like, okay. Anyway, I got to prepare for the next service. I was like, okay, I'll see you afterwards, sir. And I ran and I quickly met her. And I...
Long story, now you're together.
Now we're together.
How did you get to the no kissing part? Was it both of your decisions?
Both of our decisions.
Who presented it first? Because that matters.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was she really on the same level of conviction?
She was on the same level of conviction.
Wow.
Which
that's amazing.
Was, yeah. Because she's like, I said, look, you know, I think we need to talk about how we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, yeah, I think I'd love to for us to wait completely. And she's like, wait, what? So I was like, for sex? And she's like, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, and so what are our lines? And so I said, no kissing.
Mm-hmm. Can you hold hands?
Yes.
We can. Okay.
Hold hands. We hold
but
hands.
What led to that? Is it because of your past? You just don't want to start anything?
For me, that's partially what it is.
Okay.
But also, I think I just want to set a standard for ourselves. Why put ourselves in a position where we're going to maybe mess up?
Mm-hmm.
Because kissing is literally warming up for sex. That's what the reason why we kiss, isn't it? It's... so many nerve endings here. They say there's probably, I don't know if it's the second most or the most nerve endings are in the lips. And literally, you're preparing your body for sex. I can't kiss someone and not feel something.
So it's not, so you would advise people not to kiss at all?
I would say people are different, right?
Mm-hmm.
People have different levels of discipline. Maybe it has a lot to do with my past too, because
mm-hmm.
I was sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what it would activate in me.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think there is no person on the planet that is going to buy Nando's and you just take one bite and say, oh, I'm good, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go buy your Coke and take a sip and, oh, it's nice, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna finish the thing, and eventually that's what happens with sexual activity.
Okay.
And I think that's what I am driving at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Is that we need to be people that are disciplined, because it is a thing that everyone wants to do. Everyone will do it unless you're going to be a nun or a priest.
What do you say to Zimbabweans? Because Zimbabweans don't think like that.
I actually think Zimbabwean women are some of the best women in the world.
No, but my point is like,
And
it's very, first of all, to say you don't have sex is like, what? Now to say you don't even kiss, in the Zimbabwean culture that we live in now, it's unheard of.
Definitely.
It's like,
I don't think it's unheard of, really? It is? Okay, so I guess, yeah. Well, I mean, in South Africa, it's even worse.
Okay.
In South Africa, it's 10 times worse, actually.
Is
probably
it?
100 times worse.
Okay.
Yeah. In South Africa and America, it's like, South Africa and America are very much similar in their culture.
Mm-hmm, they are.
Very, very similar in certain things, in moral standards or moral beliefs, wherever they stand there. Whereas Zimbabwe, we still have a bit of a moral compass. Yes, our generation may be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Our specific generation may be a little further along
mm-hmm.
in the degradation, in the moral degradation. But I think when you explain, that's part of the reason why we do the Sex Files series, is because we just want to tell you, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was told when I was growing up. Just don't have sex.
Yeah.
Otherwise, into Uroba. Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't told that.
Yeah. Don't have sex. Yeah, otherwise you're dead. Or, you know, just don't have sex.
Grown up things.
Yeah. Wait till you're married. That's it. And you probably had one conversation. I've had to sit down, maybe a couple. My parents did a little better. They had some conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not in depth. You know, we didn't really get to the crux of the thing.
Yeah, and the nitty gritty.
Yeah, I want to know why. Why are you telling me? Why? What happens? Well, what's the reason? Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time our parents have talked to us about these things, usually we know about it already.
Yeah.
And
because the TV, the books, social media
is
teaching us, and it's teaching us the wrong things.
90% of our sexual education comes from TV, from media.
Mm-hmm.
90% of our sex education comes from these sources.
So what do you say to young kids or people in our generation about compromise? Like, well, you just say no compromise, keep holding on.
So I'm teaching people. So I think once I explain what happens, once you explain the whys,
mm-hmm.
you explain God's plan,
mm-hmm.
you allow people to make the choice
mm-hmm.
to do it. In the end, Christianity is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We're not forcing anyone to do anything here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not forced to have a relationship with us. You're not forced to pray.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're explaining the benefits of praying.
Mm-hmm.
You understand why you pray, and that's why you do it. Because you understand it will enhance my relationship with God. I can get my prayers answered. All these are the things.
Yeah.
So in the same way you explain sex, you understand that it was meant to connect two people together. God's plan was meant that you are connected to one person and one person only.
Yeah.
Not multiple people.
Yeah.
Even the way we are designed, people can say what they want to say about about not being monogamous and males are supposed to be whatever. We're not designed to... It's nonsense. The way your body chemically was designed, you're designed to connect with one person.
Yeah.
That's it.
Another reason why I was so happy, I even have proof on my WhatsApp. I like copied the link. I'm like, because it was just, I was just finished off by saying this. It was just an encouragement. Like, I don't know, you really did encourage me.
Oh,
oh my God, I'm getting emotional.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
No, because I felt like literally a unicorn because I love my friends, but like the way they approach dating or like my standards also, I just felt like a bit too high. And then when I heard you like saying, oh, my fiance and I, we don't even kiss. I'm like, see, they exist. People like me exist. And it really was encouraging. I hope I remember that when I'm going through something, but it's just so you know, you, and I sent the link to other people my age, like, they were really encouraged because it's hard.
It is.
I like to think it's harder for girls.
Definitely.
Than boys.
Definitely.
So they were all like, wow, okay.
Mm.
So you're a beacon of hope.
Wow.
And your story is, it's encouraging people. And I'm so glad you did this interview. I was so happy.
I'm glad. I'm glad we did it, you know.
Yeah.
You're an inspiration, and people need these kind of things, you know?
Yeah.
I think more of these conversations need to be had, and I think that's where the gaps are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we... doing good things is not easy. Doing the right thing is not easy.
Yeah.
So, I had to do a lot of research about it, just to be honest. People are just questioning how I did this. I asked over 60 couples.
Okay.
Christian, non-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Muslims, people who've been divorced. I think it's over 70 now, if I consider where we are today now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People who are successfully married, happily married, those are not happily married. Those who have been divorced, all shit colors, and I've really tried to mix it up. And the one key factor that I always asked them, I said, if you guys had not had sex, would it have made a difference?
What did they say?
And they all said yes.
No way!
I think 90% said yes.
Okay.
Because they said it would have allowed them to focus on the things that matter in marriage.
Wow.
The things that are really key in marriage are friendship.
Yeah.
Finances.
Yeah.
Can he save money? Yeah. Is he a good man? How does he get along with his family?
Mm.
The moment you have sex and get sexually active, even just before, not even the actual sexual act, but anything sexually active, it short circuits your brain and thinking.
Yeah.
It's the truth of the matter. So